Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. First, AJ, we're talking about superstitions.
Yep.
Britney Spears' boyfriend thinks that if you put an egg right under a tire and roll over it after an accident, it'll prevent other accidents.
Supposedly, yes.
Tracy in Milford.
Yes.
We were talking about the chopsticks, sticking them in rice is bad luck.
In Japanese culture, apparently, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I lived in Japan for approximately 7 years. So what they do is when somebody passes away, they go to the temple or the shrine and they light a stick of incense and they say a prayer and they stick it in the sand so it stands up, they can see it. So when you stick the chopstick in the rice, it reminds them of putting the incense in the sand when somebody dies.
Oh, okay.
That's stupid.
You're bringing up bad memories then. Okay, they're all traumatized.
Okay. Hey, have you guys ever seen Mr. Baseball?
Apparently Phil did.
We just talked about it, yeah.
Oh, you did? Oh, I missed it.
And what's his face does it? Tom Selleck.
Yes, yeah. Nice flip on him. Yep.
Yep. So weird.
I've never seen anybody do it when I lived there.
Yeah.
Not one time. 7 years, nobody
so
ever.
So anything that looks like incense in sticking out of sand is bad.
No, when you put the chopsticks into the rice, they've never done it with any
other. No, but if
it
reminds you, like, but wouldn't anything that resembles that remind
sure.
you? Yeah.
I would think.
But it's the chopsticks and the rice. That's the no-no.
How do you put a beach umbrella
in? That's the no-no.
I can't put the beach umbrella down.
Yeah, you know, it looks like,
yeah.
And they have little chopstick rests.
So, yes, they do.
Chopstick
you
rests?
You can put your, wow. Yep, it's a little dish. You can put your chopsticks on the tips so they're not touching the table.
It's called an ashtray.
Yeah,
they found a use for it.
Mm.
We'll now call them chopstick rests with a reservoir.
All right. Thank you, Tracy.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Dr. Patty's on the phone. Hey, what's the deal with superstitions? Why do you think people do this?
You know, I think that was so interesting listening to her because Japanese is such an ancient culture that I think, and it's not like I'm an expert in this, but I think it's about feeling secure. Like we have traditions, they're not all that different than rituals, and superstition is a way of making you feel better and having some sense of control over things that you can't control.
Ah.
Right? So, you know what I mean? Like that makes sense to me.
All right. I knock on wood.
Yep.
And Ashley looked it up. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, well, if you knock on wood, old Victorian times, it was said that wood is good luck. Good spirits live in wood. So when you knock on wood, you actually call them.
Yeah. Actually, I know a guy who asked a big tree to find a dog.
Right.
So he felt like there was good spirits in the tree.
Oh, my God.
Right. Well,
there you go.
Well, you speak to the bark.
Yeah.
You know.
And it worked.
Yeah. When you said
it worked.
When you said that, I felt like it had to do with spirits and stuff, like the whole thing about haunted houses, if it makes a certain noise. So it's just a way of trying to control things that we can't control. And most families, like I think it's passed down from generation to generation.
Yeah.
Different families will be like, oh, their family always does that. It's such a superstition. And like you said, it's stupid. Well, it's not stupid to them. If it makes them feel better, who cares?
And that's what I meant. I meant it's stupid to me.
Yeah. If you put a hat down on a counter or a bed or something in my mom's house, she loses her mind. Apparently,
yeah, well, some people take
the hat has to be upside down.
Shoulder.
You cannot put the hat down on a bed or a chair or a counter facing downwards, then it's bad luck.
Yeah, it's similar to rituals. Think about we're in baseball season. Do you see the batters going into the batter box? They have like 100. It's almost OCD, right?
Right?
It's a ritual. It's a superstition. It really doesn't impact their swing, but they
are very superstitious.
Oh, huge, yes.
Very.
Hilario and Darianne.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey.
Hello.
So my grandmother was very superstitious, and I used to wear flip-flops a lot. And she would say that if I leave one of my flip-flops upside down, my mother would die.
Yeah.
I didn't
hear that extreme. I didn't hear that extreme.
It's
bad luck to leave any shoe upside down. Yeah.
They're dead. They're all dead.
Yeah, any shoe upside down. Yeah.
It's just a shoe.
Yeah, apparently it's
bad. It's not even a shoe.
It's a half a shoe.
It's not a shoe.
It's a flip-flop.
That's pretty intense.
She will get desperate.
That's pretty intense.
It's one part of a shoe.
Right.
And she also would say that if I walk up or down the stairs backwards, that was the way to hell.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Wow.
That is good.
Yeah, I guess she was trying to scare me not to go up and down the stairs backwards because I could fall.
Okay, so what's an escalator?
That's
around.
Interesting.
She was very Catholic and Catholic, you know, like, don't do that. You go to hell.
Right. What if you're like on an escalator and you turned around? Would you freak out?
My wife has the same superstition with the flip-flops. And when she tells that to my son got scary and running and flip him over again.
Nice.
Wow. It is a way of control. It is control. And I know you said about the religion, but I suspect there's also a cultural aspect to it, right? Different cultures have different superstitions.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you got it.
The control part is
great. I got to go to work.
All right.
Nice talking to you.
Hilario, thank you. I'm guessing when you were just approaching 13... your grandmother told you something else. If you start doing, you'd go blind.
Exactly. Yeah. Or have hairy palms. Or you get hair in your palms.
You go to hell!
Right.
And be blind in hell!
Right.
You want to be blind in hell?
It'll be worth it, though.
You keep doing that, Hilario!
Much worth it.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Be good, man.
Chaz, that's a great example because that's a very common superstition, and it's all about controlling someone's behavior. Right. We all know that, right? Or half the world would be blind.
More than half.
Oh, my God.
Right. I've been blind years ago.
I would have been blind at 12.
Yep.
Bad.
I've been blind. We're at school every day.
When I found that, I was like, every day, cartoons, stupid. Why am I wasting my time?
Serious. Yep.
That was a revelation, boy. Wowie.
All right, then I'll wash my hands and go outside and play.
All right, Dr. Patty and Sam, we're talking about superstitions. David and Waterbury.
Yeah, baseball players, they have quite a bit of superstitions. I've seen, obviously when they get in the batter's box, there's like a lot of ticks and muscle memory and stuff like that. But there's, I've also heard things like as far as rituals, like Wade Boggs would eat the same fried chicken meal like every night before a game, and pitchers will hop over the batter's box or they won't step in the dirt and just all sorts of weird stuff.
Right. They won't change their jock strap or wash it for several weeks.
We got an email. Someone in hockey does that. They won't change their jersey. They keep it the same, like with all the gross sweat from game to game until the season's over.
Yeah.
That's not a superstition. That's just disgusting.
No, you figured no player will come near you.
There's a lot of fans who do certain things while they're watching because they think it will change the course of the game.
Right. David's right though, about Wade
Isn't
Boggs.
There some football thing with candles?
I don't know about that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Vikings?
I don't know about that, but people will watch the game at home and they have to have their team jersey on with the player name.
You sit in this spot all the time.
Right.
Right. Do you really think that's going to impact whether your team wins or not?
Okay. Every time I've worn a Cowboys shirt, they lose on their own. Never mind. All right, David. Thank you.
David's right about Wade Boggs, though. If you had lunch with him the day before and then he got a hit in that game, you were having lunch with him every single day before a game until that streak was over.
Wow.
So, sometimes you were his hostage for a while.
I guess we have a little bit of a superstition here with the show.
Oh, yeah.
You can't walk in the control room when we're having a good show and say we're having a good show or we're having a great show.
Because
at that minute, it just goes off the road.
Wow. I'll knock on wood.
I can attest to that, Chaz. You told me that. Told me that. You're like, you can't say that. I'm like, I take it back.
She walks in the room. You guys are having a great show.
I remember you went, get out!
Before we let you go, there's... 2020, 100-year pandemic had massive effects on life, economy, social aspects. But man, it even though we're unmasked and we're going out now, I do feel there's a tension in the air. Do you see that when people walking in to your place? Are you busier than ever?
Oh my gosh, yes and yes, and it's not just work professionally, it's personally. What's going on, and it's unbelievable. During the pandemic, right, the regular way we would all release stress, either we would exercise or we'd meet our friends or we'd socialize, all the way we could release stress we didn't have access to. So everybody, every person in the planet has this pent-up anger and energy, and they don't know what the hell to do with it. So they go outside now, and we've almost forgotten how to socialize, and we've lost a little bit of civility. And I don't mean to be extreme, but it's do you hold the door open? Do you not hold the door open? Like, it's unbelievable. So I think what you're seeing is people are expressing rage in an inappropriate way because they forgot how to behave in public and with other people. We'll relearn it, but there will absolutely be a learning curve, and we're all seeing it. It's unbelievable.
In
the grocery store, it's unbelievable.
You know, we would maybe once a month before COVID see a story where someone punched someone because they didn't get the right dipping sauce at Burger King.
Yeah.
Now it's multiple. I have to choose, which one's the one I want to do?
Which is the better
people
one?
People are shooting at people. Road rage.
Right.
Over dipping sauce.
Not more
or dipping sauce.
Right.
Riots.
Exactly. Right. Because
my driveway.
People that would normally be okay and not have these kind of rage and these anger issues for a year, they've had no way to express even the little nuances. And everybody's living with each other. Everybody's getting on each other's nerves. There's nothing you can do about it. So now things open up.
Oh, yeah. There's a family
like
stuck together.
Yep.
Have you seen a lot of divorce because of this?
Well, what happened is people that were barely hanging on by a thread, they're like, look, this is I can tolerate you as long as I don't see you most of the week. But now that I'm living with you, yeah, this reminds me, we're done.
Oh, wow.
Wow. We need your garage.
Yeah, I've read that somewhere. The numbers are high. Yeah.
During the pandemic, it really reset for people what's important in my life. Like, how do I want to live the rest of my life? And many people say, I really don't want to live with you.
You know what? I'm happier when you're not home.
Anyway.
So let's just make it permanent. Wow, that's
so it's not like the pandemic caused the divorce, but the pandemic exposed the vulnerability that people were denying or
just how annoying they are. Yes,
expedited it,
and it just ripped off the ripped off the Band-Aid.
It's funny because initially we didn't know where the bottom was, so it was a big reminder. Like, wow, it doesn't have to be like this every day where you go to work and do stuff. You could be, living out in the woods, eating out of a soup can.
You could do that, yeah.
You know, society could just crumble with one little mistake over in another part of the world.
A little boo-boo.
Yeah.
Well, what's really interesting, and this is like a whole different conversation. We could talk about this maybe another day. But for years, all these big companies, you have to be in the office, you have to be in, and women, working moms in particular, have been begging, please let us work from home, please let us have flexibility.
Mom, yeah.
And they said no, right? Mm. So now this happens, like, guess what? For the most part, it's productive, it's all great. Now, especially Wall Street, the old middle-aged guys, all right, now you have to be back in. Why? And the young, and I got to give it to the kids. They're saying, no, I'm not, it's such a waste of my time and energy. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see the shift in what happens with work because it's almost as if the employees are taking back control.
Dr. Patty Ann is on. What about the kids who went through this? Are they going to be like going bananas later?
Tell you what, the kids,
what they know to begin with?
There's a whole socialization. The whole goal of childhood is to learn how to socialize more than anything else. Reading, and there's definitely a learning gap. There's no doubt about that. But there's aspects of relating to people, right? It's go share. And for a year and a half, don't go near that person. Don't touch that person.
Yeah.
So your brain's been wired one way. So, yes, there is an element of giving how to test the waters. Is that person an okay person? I don't know. So there will be ramifications for relationships. We really don't know what it will be like. People that had a neighborhood, like if you had a little bubble and you interacted with each other and those kids could go out and play just with the neighborhood kids, those kids are doing better than the kids that were isolated and never saw another kid. It's even as adults, we see it, and we are already developed. We have all our ego functions developed. Kids are still developing.
Let's not get crazy.
Seriously, you're talking to us.
Well,
all right, hold on, Dr. Patty, before we go here. Wait, you have something on the text? No? You're moving your hand. What?
I saw a video where kids a year old that were born, at the beginning of the pandemic, they think everything that looks like a hand sanitizer you know, anything at all, they go up to it and try to get hand sanitizer from it. They don't understand.
Who is this? It's 1 year old?
Yeah, 1 year olds, because they're so used to sticking their hand out and getting hand sanitizer, they're going up to everything. Like, they don't know the difference.
1 year old?
Yeah.
Huh. Are you walking at one?
Seriously.
You can't reach any of those?
No.
How are they doing it? Was it climbing up the counter?
Anything at their level that looks like one of those boxes that hangs on a wall or anything like that where you
where
push
you
the bottom
this?
Of the...
Did you read this?
It's like an electric socket?
Facebook.
Okay. Facebook.
Oh.
Because
oh,
okay. we've learned how reliable that is.
Think about it. That's all they know, though.
A one-year-old.
I'll tell you what.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, though, Ashley. What Chaz won't argue with is the whole mask thing with kids.
Yeah.
That, I can't wait to see what the emotional ramifications of that will be.
Yeah.
Need a bigger
because
one for some kids.
You don't learn. You learn how to read facial expression. Right. Even at one, you learn how. Well, people's masks have been covered. Their faces have been covered. So you miss that whole aspect of nonverbal communication.
Well, you get half it. You get the happy eyes, the angry eyes, you know,
true.
Be able to read eyes
absolutely
better.
True.
Right.
I'm just picturing a 1 year old climbing up like, you know, a kitchen counter to get hand sanitizer.
Right. Oh, just touch
I got to find this now.
Just touch money.
Now I got to find this.
When the kid's pumping gas, you know, that's the worst part.
First of all, if you're one, you're not even reaching out to get the hand sanitizer.
You'd be
okay?
surprised.
Your parents are doing it.
No. These little one-year-old hands are reaching out. They're like, where's my hand sanitizer?
Okay.
What are they, in China?
Well, just think about it, Chaz. For their entire life, that's all they've seen. They've seen some adult or
but they're
someone
one.
That loves
what are you doing at
doing...
one, really? You're still in diapers.
Yeah, you are.
You're looking for hand sanitizer.
You're crapping
but
yourself,
you're
okay?
You are.
You're not like I'm going to hand. If they're reaching for hand sanitizer at one, they're trying to clean the crap off their ass.
Right. They took their hand down there and said, oh, yes, I did put my
they
hand.
They stuck their hand down.
Now what? Yep. I just confirmed.
I need some hand sanitizer.
I just confirmed. Something happened to my pants.
They're not like, there's some germs. They're sticking stuff in their mouths that dropped in the sewer.
Well, I'm going to find this.
Well, you know when like little kids. When
found it.
They're teething. All right, read it.
No, it's a video. I'm sending it right to you.
Oh, okay, great.
Oh, it's a video. Much better.
All right, Dr. Patty Ann, thank you. Cody and Aunt Sonia.
Am I on?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's not that they're smarter than you think. I mean, I guess they are, but for them, it's all repetition. So I got a nine-month-old baby, and over time, we've taught her how to do high fives. You know, she likes to wave, do high fives, you know, small stuff like that. But it takes time. It's all about repetition. So I can totally see, you know, I get a side with Ashley. I can kind of see how over time, them seeing their parents constantly put their hands and stuff, I can see how that would, you know, influence
Wait,
that.
Wait,
thank you very much.
Does your one-year-old reach for hand sanitizer?
Well, she's not 1 year old yet. She's 9 months old.
Is she reaching for hand sanitizer?
Like under everything that sticks out? Like
is she
reaching right now?
Is she reaching for hand sanitizer?
No, she's not. But I'm also not like, you know, people worried about that stuff. I wasn't really a big hand sanitizer person.
So one kid out of all these kids.
I wasn't hiding inside.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. But
what does she do at nine? What is she doing at 9 months? So she's high-fiving.
She's high-fiving, which, you know, I think is pretty impressive. You know, 9 months old.
That is?
Starting to walk, saying dada, you know, small stuff like that.
Dada's always the first thing they say.
Right. Trust fund.
Yeah, it might not be a wide range of kids doing it, but, you know, repetition is the big thing with them. So if they see their parents constantly doing it, if they got parents that are constantly doing it, I could see it being possible. And then you guys were talking about the expressions with the face mask. She does understand that, you know, our daycare, we just started bringing her back to daycare and, they make you wear the masks, and, you know, we haven't been wearing them for a while, but, you know, as soon as we started bringing her back to daycare and wearing those, she immediately started looking at us weird when we have them on. So at 9 months old, she can understand the difference, you know, like, you know, in expressions, and it's just weird for her.
Yeah, but you don't really know when they're that age if they're looking at you weird or pushing out a poo.
Right.
You know, you're right.
That's why I'm trying to change my face
for
that.
Oh,
right.
You know, right. Okay.
Yeah, there's something different here. Yes, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, little one needs a diaper change.
She's not deep in thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cody, what's
I wanted to call and say that. I got to side with Ashley a little bit on that one.
Thank you, Cody.
He started with, I got a side with Ashley, then he ended with, I got a side a little bit with Ashley.
Right, just a little bit.
One more phone call. Ashley's nuts.
He's on my side.
All right, Cody, what's your girl's name?
Katya, K-A-T-Y-A.
That's a nice name.
Eastern European name.
I was going to say, something like a town.
She sounds brilliant.
Katya.
Yeah, she's brilliant. She's hungry, so I gotta go.
Wow. I hear her in the background. Yeah. She says, "Yeah,
yeah,
that's me."
Yeah, she's like, "Let's go, get off the radio." Yeah.
All right. Well, she made her radio debut. So all right, thank you, Cody.
So this is good then. The kids do things by repetition. I teach it how to do dishes, how to cut the lawn.
Right.
Exactly. Go food shopping.
What's this video? Ashley, you said 1 year olds are looking for hand sanitizer now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The caption of this video says, this little girl got in the habit of sanitizing her hands due to the coronavirus pandemic. She thought random objects were sanitizing stations, walked up to them, and tried to sanitize her hands.
Okay, so one stupid kid.
Yeah, it's one kid.
Think about it. This is all they know. I have friends with daughters who, when they take pictures, they don't smile. They do that stupid duck face because that's all their mothers do. It's the same thing.
It's nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Totally different topic.
No, you watch behavior and the kids mimic it. Same thing.
Because we got one kid.
One kid.
It's not a trend. It's one kid, and the parents filmed it. Look at our stupid kid.
Probably laughing.
Look how dumb our kid is.
I want a news network where AJ and Ashley are running the department.
Everybody would watch.
I am not getting involved in this one.
My God. Facebook reports.
And mine was confirmed by your friend.
Okay. Here's a woman. This is happening all the time, by the way. One person did it, but we believe it's happening all the time. It's an epidemic. According to Ashley, if one person does it, everyone's doing it. So apparently everyone's falling between buildings naked.
Right.
I was planning on doing that this afternoon.
I didn't get a chance to yet yesterday, Chaz. I'm thinking maybe Friday.
Yeah. My turn's tomorrow.
Yeah, I want to lose a couple pounds before I go getting stuck between two buildings.
A woman rescued after becoming wedged between two buildings, and here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker.
She was naked.
Naked. Oh, that would chafe, wouldn't it? Ah,
scratch.
I think you're more stuck now.
There's got to be an easier way to exfoliate.
A woman who was not immediately identified was found wedged between two buildings. It had to be tight, or she's big, or which is fine, but maybe a little bit of both.
I think she was slender. I believe she was slender.
Oh, and these were two buildings built so close together.
Yeah, I'm guessing she couldn't walk around the buildings. And, you know what, I'll take my clothes off. I'll just slither in between them.
Oh, wait, so she didn't come in through the roof?
I have no idea.
I can fall down?
I'm surmising.
Or did she try to walk through the smallest alley in the world?
Maybe she was sunbathing nude on top of the roof and fell.
Firefighters were called by workers at a nearby auto body shop after they heard screams from the woman, but couldn't find her.
Right. Oh, no, it's just another chick behind the wall.
I don't know. She's not in the trunk.
Hey.
Well, that's the only place she could be.
I've looked everywhere. I can't find her.
She was looking for hand sanitizer.
Right. You keep on yelling, Marco.
It's a real thing.
Fire officials claim that a woman was found stuck in a place that's less than a foot wide.
Right, where the sun don't, they found where the sun don't shine.
Can you imagine that? Just look at what a foot is.
I could not. Yeah, no.
I wonder.
12 this inches. Page is 8.5 by 11.
Right.
If I can try that somewhere. Oof.
This is 11. So figure being, that's.
Yep. I can do that.
That's horrifying.
Elfie can sprint through that without touching either side.
All right. Let's go between some
Yeah. He'd have room. He could stretch his arms out.
Yeah, I know.
Well, he's elf on a shelf. So.
All right. We have two things going here. One, we have to find a. Someplace that's 11 inches because Ashley said she could do it.
No way.
Do this.
I'm not going to do it naked, but yeah.
No.
We're not asking you to do it naked.
Yeah.
No.
You could do this right
here.
I'm
sure I can. Yeah.
This is 11 inches right here. You could fit through that.
Yeah. Is there a vent you could put yourself in?
If you could fit through this, then you don't need to dye it for your wedding.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. The funny thing about stuff is when you look at yourself in the mirror. Dead on, you're one size.
Yeah.
And then when you look at yourself sideways, you're a whole nother size. Yep. So I think you might be a little bit off here.
I struggle with that very concept, yes.
Pictures. Damn pictures.
Right. Luckily, pictures have borders. So you just only put party in there. You think sure? No, no, that wasn't a flubble. That was not a flubble. You guys have to get flubbles right.
Okay.
That was me stopping myself to get the words out. Basically, when you look at a picture, only so much of you fits in the picture. So when it looks slender, you make sure you walk closer to the picture so only part of you is in there. Not the entire, you don't get the huge view, you get the narrow view. Kind of like a mirror.
Okay.
So, well, then I'll be on the reel tomorrow.
AJ News Network.
I got some news for you. Man fell off the roof. Kind of.
This is future news.
Right. Yeah. Well,
news before. We report the news before it happens.
Right. Nostradamus news. Man screams to his death.
So she wedged herself in there where they couldn't physically get her out.
Oh.
So they had to drill through a wall. Do we have audio on this one?
Well, we heard a lady in the back behind our shop over there screaming, you know what I'm saying? And to see her stuck between the two walls, and she's all naked.
The main focus is to
she's
get
all
to
naked.
Her.
Yeah. All naked, right.
Not a little.
Now partly naked, all naked.
All naked.
Right. Between the two walls, and she's all naked.
The main focus is to get to her without injuring her.
Right.
That's a good one.
How do you determine what part you're going to find, though? Like, you may, like, chop a hole in the wall and find just her belly button. You may chop a hole in the wall and just find an ear. Like, how do you know you got the one spot where you can communicate with her? This is a legitimate question. Why are you guys being idiots?
It's King of the Nerds, Mitch Halleck.
Mitch! It's Buff Bufferson.
Creator of Terrificon in studio.
Yes.
Yay.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Terrificon coming to Mohegan Sun.
That's what they tell me, yeah.
Yay.
July 30th.
So next week.
Next week. Wow. Ooh,
right?
Close. We're so close.
Ooh. You look pretty calm for
I know. Well, event. You know, that break, you know. It's
that, I was thinking medicated, but okay.
That force break
yeah.
That we all had to take. Give me some time off to reflect about the deeper meaning of life. And where
you hated it, couldn't you?
So for those of us who haven't been to something like this,
yeah.
what happens? We walk in and we'll... What do we see?
Mayhem ensues as soon as you walk through the door.
Yep.
It's like Mardi Gras on acid. No, what it is a three-day love fest. I always talk, it's like Woodstock for nerds. They get together, they come in. Of course, they could go shopping for comic books and toys and all that stuff there. But then they see all the celebrities they grew up with from TV and movies and what have you. And then they meet the artist and the writer. So all that's there. But then there's this vibe that happens because, as Ashley's already hinted at, she's working on her costume. We get some fans that get really into it, and they think it's real, so they'll come dressed as Superman, Iron Man, Captain America, all that, which is fantastic. We have a costume contest on Sunday just for that reason.
What's the top prize?
Oh, well, usually it's cash or a weekend at the Mohegan Sun, stuff like that. So
I'll
it depends
that.
On...
Weekend there, that's
I'll take
big
that.
Yeah,
cash.
Yeah, yeah, I get tickets and prizes and nice. Stuff. But it's like most original, most creative, or well, that's kind of like the same thing, and then... Best craftsmanship, because there's some folks that come in with these outfits. I know one guy's already making one he sent me, and it literally is like a 9 foot tall. Remember those things that walked in the snow in the Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah, the Tantans.
The AT-ATs.
AT-ATs, that was
Yeah, and then there's a two-legged one. This guy's making his own version, because he knew something was going on when he calls me and says, how tall are the doors? And I'm like, why? Could it accommodate 9 feet? And I go, what are you doing? Right. Well, I just want to make sure we got clearance. I'm like, yeah, you should be able to get through the door.
Wow.
Okay. And then that's what keeps me up at night wondering what's going on.
Right.
So there's that too. And then you know what else? There's programming. That's what I do with the panels. So people don't think of that. They think it's just like a big, you know, fanboy flea market. People are just buying stuff, but it's not. I have all these panels that I have to put together. So you can sit down for 45 minutes to an hour and listen to the guys from the Gilmore Girls or the Batman animated show or you name it. And you just sit there, you can ask questions. I mean, they're never going to get an opportunity. It's not like you're going to go to Stop and Shop and there's the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy grabbing bananas, you know.
Working there now. But
yeah. I mean, you were there that time when Henry Winkler was there and he was asking questions. AJ sat in the front row. When's this, you know, Fonzie's never going to come into AJ's house.
No, he's not.
No. So
the seminars are really cool.
And you got as Ashley referred to him, the blue guy.
The blue guy. That's Michael Rooker. That's what I was just talking about.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. The blue guy.
With the magic mohawk.
The magic mohawk. Yes, that's right. Millions of dollars.
What would you ask him?
Yeah, what would you ask Michael Rooker? What's the other blue men guys like?
How much of your body is actually painted blue?
Well, that's
wouldn't
a good
that,
question.
Wouldn't that be on the film?
Well, it looks like it's his whole body, but he's also clothed. So how far do they go? His chest?
Oh, interesting.
Like, how far up his legs do they
like
go?
When you get, like when you tan outside, you're like wearing, like, long-sleeve shirt.
Are you going to be there Saturday?
Does your hand
yes.
Does he have blue,
all right.
Blue guy
Saturday,
right.
When he does his panel, I think it's at 5 o'clock, I'm going to bring you up on stage and
you
say,
won't be there at 5.
Are you going to be there at 5? Huh?
I'm going on Saturday. I can't promise 5.
Oh, well, then you don't get to ask.
But does he have a blue butt? Like, that's what I want to know.
Well, we could ask Mrs.
Rooker.
Do you
know what time you're going?
It's an all-day ticket, I believe.
It is an all-day
yeah.
ticket, yes.
I didn't ask how long this is.
We know the show.
Do you
the
know
show
what time
is from
you're
10
going?
To 7.
I'll know what time I'm going on Friday the 30th, the day before.
Mitch, you sure you want
to
bring her
I don't
up
know.
On
I'm beginning to wonder if
questions.
We should do some kind of screening before I let people in the studio.
I would.
I mean, is there a reason why you can only go to a certain moment, a certain time? Like, are you going to explode or something?
But you won't know until Friday?
Are you in a timer?
Does that mean how late do I stay up Friday drinking?
Oh, is that what it is? But your birthday's this week. Is this like a week-long thing, like Mardi
Gras? It's a month-long thing.
Oh, a month-long.
Yeah.
Oh,
you got to celebrate the birthday.
Mine was last week. I didn't
thought,
know.
It was?
I thought it just seemed like that.
Well, happy birthday, everyone. How about that terrific con?
Happy birthday, Mitch.
Thanks. Now what?
I don't know.
Oh, I mean, it's your month. I didn't want to take anything from
hold
you.
Hold on a second. I'm going to turn these down. Hey, Jay, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, good.
Oh, my God.
Loud.
Is it over?
I turned everyone's mics off.
Oh. Is it over?
All right, let's get back to...
Talk about being
okay.
Blue.
Hey, how you doing?
They're still here.
Mitch Halleck.
Hey.
King of the Nerds, Terrificon, coming a week from tomorrow.
Yes, at the Mohegan Sun
and
Expo.
And then you got
Center.
The guy from The Walking Dead. I think that's going to be a great panel.
You know what's funny? The Walking Dead guy, there's two of them, actually. We were just talking about Michael Rooker. He was on the show. He lost a hand on the show. And then he came up with some weird contraption, like a knife
right.
or something, right? And then I have the other actor who's on The Walking Dead, who was also in a Marvel movie, and on the show, he lost a hand. And he's got like a spike ball now.
So together they
together,
have a pair of hands.
A pair of hands. I was just thinking it was Adam.
They could tie a shoe.
Right.
The two of them will be there.
When
handy.
They knock on your door.
I mean, I was like, I should do a panel like we're both on The Walking Dead. And
juggle.
Both.
Right.
We're called Lefty.
Doing hand tricks.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
What are the odds you're going to survive a zombie apocalypse and both have spike ball hands? I don't know.
That's wild.
That was a strange thing that just occurred to me.
Hey,
about
spike
that.
Ball hands.
Hey, Spike, get over here. We need somebody to open this jar
what
of peanut
do you
butter.
Need two hands to do?
A lot.
Eat a Whopper.
Okay. That would be good. Hand one of them a Whopper.
Right.
Well,
you know, you played a guy.
Right.
For so many years that only had one hand.
Right.
Here's a Whopper. Let's see you do it with one hand.
Right.
And what's funny is the character of Rick, the star of the show, in the comics he lost a hand, but not on the TV show.
Also knitting.
They had someone else lose
it. Yeah, they said, well, how is he going to load his gun? Because remember, he was a sheriff with that big gun?
Right.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to do.
How do you wash one hand?
You know, so anyway, that's the...
It's a good one.
I'm not saying this.
Wait,
we're not, this
why
is not
you
real.
Wash
Let's
one hand.
You go into the
like
bathroom.
Yeah.
Well, no, you have to push the soap
right.
with your head.
Right. You have to have a really large thumb in order to go like this.
Wow,
right,
this
so
is
could,
really
wait,
how do
so you
wash
could
one hand?
So you could turn the water on.
Uh-huh.
Right, yeah.
This is why we won't be asked to ask a question.
No,
at the
I was going to say, this will come up at the panel. Yeah, how did you guys wash your hands?
With your one hand, then you use your head to push the soap.
I don't think they
head.
Had running right. water during the zombie apocalypse.
What about tie your shoes? That's out.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
That's gone.
Yeah, you gotta those,
wow.
Any,
you
tie know, those, anything,
those,
really.
Those
really
shoes are like, that, like go on automatically. Those Kizik's there.
That's a whole other.
I got to tell you, Mitch, if you do something like this, it'll be viral.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
You, like when he's doing hand. The panel,
yeah.
you say you played a character
yeah.
for X amount of years. They had one hand.
Yes, sir.
Here, do this, yeah. whatever it is. Tie yeah. a knot.
Eat yeah. a Whopper.
Yeah.
Eat a Whopper.
Get, in fact, get both shoe. Of the actors
get,
on stage
get BK
and kind of have
you.
Like a contest. Like
get
which one is
wrestle.
More? Yeah.
Oh, which one's
did they, lose the, did they lose the same hand?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I started noticing like it was both their left hand. I'm like, wow.
Or
try fold this paper, put it in an envelope.
No, you you can go corporation on
make
this
a paper
one.
Airplane.
No, and at the same time, have a zombie guy. Have a guy dressed as a zombie the entire time trying to eat them as
right.
they're doing it. So to add a little bit more of an adventure to the
well,
whole
that's
thing.
What you do with the Whopper then. You pick it up with one hand and stick it in a zombie's mouth.
Right?
Oh, well, see, there you go.
Right. Yeah, but then you're out of Whopper.
And they call me the King of the
no,
Nerds.
No, but you're still alive to have another one on another day.
When mm-hmm. you finally get one.
Yes, but anyway, there's interesting panels going all the way back to where we started.
I love
Terrificon.
It.
A lot
Terrificon.
Of stuff.
And we're linked up to all things Terrificon on the radio station website. Lots to ask Jimmy Komplik about today. Let's start with Farm Aid. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Excellent, thank you. Farm Aid tickets on sale tomorrow. Do we want to run through all the details again?
Sure. Well, are you going to do it or am I going to do it?
Well, I think I let the Live Nation concert guide go through it, but I have it here if you need it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you, I mean, I know the date, September 25. It's an all-day concert. I certainly know the four big headliners, which are Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds, John Mellencamp, Willie Nelson, and Neil Young. Tickets, I know, are, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think they're $305, $215, $125, and the lawn is $65.
Mm-hmm.
I will warn everybody, it sold out in 2018, the first day we put it on sale. So I would sense that it probably will happen again. So don't wait till Saturday. Buy your tickets tomorrow. And as everybody on Facebook's been saying, it's more than a concert. It's an event. It's a national event. It's held every year somewhere in the country. And you certainly will enjoy the music, but you'll enjoy what the farmers do. The farmers bring their own food. You can buy their own food. You can buy the apple cider. You can. But it's very different than a normal Xfinity Theater show where the type of food that's served is more standard, I would say, than Farm Aid. Farm Aid will have quite a setup. And we take up half the parking lot, in fact, and create half the parking lot as part of the concert facility.
Wow. How do you handle the logistics of Farm Aid? And by the way, all the information for Farm Aid, we're linked up to the Live Nation site on our radio station site. The amount of acts, you have 14, right? So they all have trailers and buses. And then you have to have bathrooms backstage for them. You have to have meals for them, catering backstage. It's an army of people. Then you have this farmer's market and fresh foods out in the parking lot. How do you coordinate all of that?
Well, the coordination really starts. It started back in March when we made the attempt to try to get it back. When I heard, you know, we were during the pandemic and Connecticut was one of the best states getting vaccinated and certainly considered one of the safest states to live in. I made the attempt to reach out to Farm Aid and to see if they would be interested in coming back to Connecticut because of the citizens of Connecticut getting vaccinated. I applaud everybody, which we've done on the show over and over again, that have been vaccinated. And this is a great example of how lucky we are that we're one of the highest states that are vaccinated, that Farm Aid came here because they felt that we could open up at full capacity by the end of September because of our ability to hold full-scale concerts because of our vaccinations. And so it really started back in March. Slowly we spoke to the managers of the artists and the agents of the artists to tell them how safe Connecticut is. And Farm Aid made the decision to come back here. So it really all started then. As far as setup, we will not have any concerts in the venue from September 20 through 26 because we have to completely change over the venue. Wow. We have to move fences. We have to move gates. We have to. We're also going to sell less tickets than we sold in 2018. I want to make that clear. We're Farm Aid and us have decided to make the lawn more comfortable, so we're selling about 20% less tickets on the lawn than we normally do.
Get more room.
Yeah, yeah. We had a couple of complaints after the last Farm Aid, so we've looked them back up again. And there were two major complaints. One, the lawn was too crowded. And when you do an all-day festival and the audience is a little older, they are less interested in being crowded, number one. And as some people know, you get a little bigger when you get older. So you take up a little more room on the lawn when you get older. I first realized that when we had Jimmy Buffett back about 20 years ago, when all of a sudden the lawn was much more crowded with the same amount of people.
Well, his last name was Buffet, so.
They're all bigger. That's right. They showed up for the free buffet. Where's that Jimmy Buffet?
Where's the buffet at?
Well, as somebody told me, only great promoters realize that. And I go, well, I look in a mirror, so I'm not a great promoter. I look in a mirror. But nonetheless, so that was a complaint. So we're selling 20% less tickets on the lawn that we saw last year.
Genius to look back at the complaints from the last one to address those problems. That's genius.
And the other problem we had is we didn't have enough porta potties up on the lawn. So we're going to have triple the number of porta potties up on the lawn, and we're going to have 20% less people on the lawn. So it will be a lot different this year than it was in 2018.
Comfortable. How do you handle the part? So does Farm Aid, Jimmy, send you all right, here's the list of things we need, and then you've put together a site plan and send it to them for their approval? How does that work?
Yes. We have already worked on the site plan. We were lucky because, remember, there's only one other Farm Aid since the Farm Aid that we did in 2018, because 2019 went out to Milwaukee and 2020 was virtual. So we really do have the up-to-date setup that we did last year. So we recreated a map of where everything's going to go, sent it off to them. They're working on it right now and telling us what they're adding, and they're going to send the map back to us sometime in the next 7 to 10 days to see what they're going to do, and then we will start figuring out where to put everything. But it's a week-long process to set this up.
The tractor trailers that bring in the equipment, we talked to the Farm Aid person, communications director, yesterday, and she's, because I thought, well, maybe five or six of these bands will share the same drum kits or whatever. No backline sharing. They're all bringing their own stuff. So how does that work? Do you have to coordinate the scheduling of the tractor trailers coming in, coming out? You can't have them all on site at the same time, right?
No. Last time we actually parked a lot of them out at Rentschler Field and brought them in from Rentschler Field when a couple hours before they're supposed to set up, and we moved the other trucks out when they left, when the artists finished playing, and they went to wherever they went, because we can only handle about 12 to 16 trucks backstage at one time. And when you have 14 artists, and each has at least one truck, if not more than one truck, it's almost like a checkers game where you move something in and you take something out.
Right. That's a lot.
Right, and Willie has the Queen truck. He can take out anybody. Like a chess
Willie
game.
Truck stays for the whole gig.
Yeah, we're calling that Willie Smokehouse.
Yes.
Willie Smokehouse.
Oh, man. Is this a... You've had a long career with a lot of different shows. Is this Farm Aid the most bands you've had on one ticket? Well, you did Woodstock.
I did Woodstock 94. I don't want to be associated with Woodstock 99. I was not with Woodstock 99. There will be a documentary tomorrow night on HBO about Woodstock 99, which is called Peace, Love, and Rage. So I can't imagine it's going to be that. I think it'll be interesting, but it will be pretty devastating, I would imagine.
I'm guessing you're going to watch that one.
I can't wait.
That's why you mentioned it.
Did I say that out loud?
Yes.
I mean, shouldn't have said that out loud.
Inner thoughts are out again.
Yeah, you know, what can I tell you?
But outside of a multiple-day festival, is this the most bands you've had on a one-day deal?
Yes, it is the most bands on the main stage. Remember, Ozfest always had a lot of bands, but we had more than one stage.
Right.
So we were able to set up the equipment much easier on two or three different stages. Warp Tour was more bands, but again, there were four stages on Warp Tour. So the difficulty of this is it's the most artists we've ever had on one stage.
The Farm Aid person was saying there'll be a 7-minute time period between the two bands set up.
Right.
Takedown and set up, 7 minutes.
That's amazing.
Record time, right?
Yeah, that's like NASCAR pit crew style.
Record time, and I will be the first one to say thank goodness for Local 84, our wonderful stagehands union, because I don't know of any other people that can handle this. I'm a very pro-union person, as my union friends know, and they do the best work, and I'm so thankful we have union workers doing this, because I don't know if anybody else can pull this off.
Remember a year ago we were talking about how bored you were? How's that?
Oh, I sure do.
Yeah.
How's that going?
I'll take a couple of days of that back right now.
Is the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport ready to open?
Not as of today.
Down to the wire, right?
I'm glad the show's not today.
There you go.
Sure. It will be ready by next week. We've finished all the panels on the roof. At least they were all up yesterday, but I don't think they were tied down. So over the next few days, we will stretch the panels and make them very taut and tie them in. And so that should be just about completed. And the finishes are being done, but I have a feeling that we won't be able to finish everything, but I don't think it will be noticeable to the public.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm being very honest. I mean, you know, it's like every construction project you do. It goes down to the last minute, and it could be completely finished by then. We get a stretch of good weather, which it looks like, except for Sunday, which probably is a day we don't work anyway. It looks like we're going to have beautiful weather straight through Wednesday. So I think we're going to get lucky and get as close to finishing as possible. But it certainly is. I mean, you could have held a concert today there, no question about it. Everything is set up unless it rained. And if it rained, we're finished putting the finishing touches right now on the roof. So next Wednesday it should be ready.
Awesome. I think anyone who bought a house, new construction, has walked through the house shortly before closing and said, you know, you're not going to be ready. This is just, and then it's magically done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And being a concert promoter and not a construction guy, I looked at it yesterday and I actually could see that it's going to be completed. So if I could see it, I'm pretty sure it will be completed.
Are all of the vendors, the restaurants, the breweries, all those places are set up? They have their signage up?
Everything is set up except two roads is still under construction, but there'll be plenty of two roads beer available. But nonetheless, but everybody else is there. Pepe's, everybody is set up and just about ready to go.
That's great.
Excellent.
I can't wait to see this
place. Haven't, you know, walked it since, you know, it was, there were no signs up. The vendors weren't in there
yet. Yeah, over here is going to be, yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, the signage is up, the dugout bars, you know, the dugouts are now bars. So people that are on the floor could just walk over to the two dugouts, and they're basically beer bars. And the signage is up, and you see all the vendors' names up and the Hartford Healthcare logos across the venue, and it looks great. It really does look great. It clearly will be one of the most beautiful venues in the country.
It already is.
It really
you're
is.
Right. You're
it
right.
is. Your club, is that ready? Will that be open?
My club is ready. I brought up all my memorabilia yesterday.
Ah, cool.
Really good stuff.
Now, will we see you in there?
Treasure.
Jimmy, will we see you in there Wednesday hanging stuff up?
Right.
He has a hammer.
Right.
Dink, 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 dink.
Adjusting that picture.
Put
over
the
here.
Billy Joel poster over
right.
here.
Right.
All right.
Right. Right. It's a little crooked.
Hold on. Let me get the
to left. To left. To left. Thank you.
This is pretty cool stuff I'm hanging up, stuff that's very personal to me that I have never shown anybody. For instance, when we did the original residency for Billy Joel, it was a full-page ad on Billboard, and with the 96,000 people were there, and I got Billy to sign the page for me and pictures of me with Billy and the set lists and tickets, and that will be up there. A lot of my personal stuff, and people can go into that VIP. It's actually $40. It's a VIP club, so it costs $40 to get in there. You can buy it in advance. You can buy it there, and I'll be there opening night. I won't be there every night, but I'll certainly be in there opening night.
Awesome.
Get ready, because we're going to be talking to you. we're not gonna say, oh, there's Jimmy Coplick. Let's leave him alone. He's probably busy.
Nope.
I was going to ask you.
I'll be hanging with you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was going to ask you, what will you be doing Wednesday? But you'll be in your club. That seems weird. I would picture you backstage pointing, talking to people on a walkie-talkie, because it's the first time. No one's in a pattern yet.
Right.
This is
there's no dress
first
rehearsal.
For everything.
Yeah.
Right, you could walk into Oakdale. That's a machine. You could be home or in the Hamptons, and that'll run. This one.
No.
Hands on. Yeah.
This one's different. No, I will be in the club because I feel I should meet people. If I'm at a concert that are paying $40 to get into the club, I should be there. So any concert that I will be at, I will be at the club. I'll certainly be at the opening show. But that my people will never give me a walkie-talkie because then I'll know everything that's going wrong.
I hear you. Damn it, switch the channel.
Don't tell Jimmy.
Right.
Yeah, I insisted one time getting a walkie-talkie, and they gave me a dead one on purpose.
Very quiet here.
At the end of the night, I went, boy, everything really went well, didn't it? And they looked at me and go, you stupid fool. You didn't even have one that was working.
This one has candy in it.
Yes, everything went fine.
I have a name for your place. It came to me in a dream.
Uh-oh.
So what was the working title? Someone called in.
Coplix Corner. Yeah.
And then Jimmy Gordon said Coplix Club, and all I did was move the word to Club Coplix.
Nice.
Oh, I like that.
That's nice.
Catchy.
Yeah. What do you think, Jimmy?
I like the idea. I don't think we've named it yet. I'm not sure it has a real name to it. I've got to check with Howard if he's nailed some letters up and called it anything.
I got a good name for it. Spend money.
Or something with ticket.
Buy something you cheap at.
Something like front row or something, or backstage, Jimmy's backstage, or... Because then you can say, hey,
I'm going to feel it out on Wednesday and try to get a vibe and see what it feels like.
Oh, that's good. It's like having a puppy. You want to get a personality.
Like Jimmy's all access.
Yeah. Gordon from Bridgeport, you think you have a name?
I think I do have a name that encompasses everything that Jimmy is about and everything that the situation at times are about.
Right, this better be nice, though.
Really?
How about Jimmy's Joint?
Ah! Did that come up already?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, Jimmy's Joint. Yeah.
Well, I've actually used that name up at the Xfinity Theater.
That's right.
For an alcohol stand. I did mention to the governor that if he ever lets us sell pot at our amphitheaters, we will call it Jimmy's Joint.
Jimmy's Joint.
And use your eyes as you neon it out, and you use the eyes as joint, and then the O's you put as pot leaf.
Right.
Jimmy's Joint.
Right.
You thought this out.
It's a great place to get lit. I get you. Yeah.
Thank you, Gordon. Wow, he thought the whole deal out.
Wow.
This guy's got a future. Drew better watch out. He might lose his job to this guy.
Or a lot of time on his hands, obviously.
So, Jimmy, the night of the show, you're going to be in your club.
Just for a while. It will be crazy, like you said.
Yeah.
And both managers of Sticks and Ario, of course, are coming because they are very excited about opening up the amphitheater. The agents are coming that handle both artists. So we'll have artists, managers, agents all there, which is very rare for Connecticut because usually they go to New York or Boston but not come to Connecticut. So I'll be spending a lot of time with them. I went to college with REO's manager.
Smooth.
I've known Styx's manager for almost 50 years. So we'll be having a good time backstage. But Howard put together this fabulous game room backstage for the artists, which will
really?
Be pinball games and video games and things like that. I'm sure we'll be spending time there, too.
And now, do you give a speech before, do you gather up all your Live Nation people and say, hey, this is a brand-new concert venue, and this is show one of a million shows, making memories, blah, blah, blah. Do you do one of those, like, go team?
Yeah, no, I'll give a speech to everybody before the doors open and then pray for the rest of the night.
I would make it so much shorter and just say, I paid for everything here. Don't break anything.
No, actually, Howard could say that. I didn't pay for anything there. Howard paid for everything.
Well, they don't know.
That'd be Howard's speech.
They don't know.
Yeah. It's very, very exciting. All right, Earl Thomas, what's your question for Jimmy?
Hey, Jimmy, it's Earl from Guilford. I grew up in Guilford anyways. I remember the rush at the Oakdale. We were trying to finish the banquet hall up, and a tour bus pulled up. I believe it was Faith Hill and Tim McGraw.
Is that correct?
That was Brooks and Dunn, I think, actually. I remember the first show there, but I could be wrong.
I don't remember. I'm not a country fan. So,
well, you look totally different for us.
So what were you part of?
I remember I was walking.
Go ahead.
I just remember I brought my puppy up to work every day when we were trying to finish up your banquet hall up there. And I just remember, I think it was Bo Siegel. Were you part of Bo Siegel with that?
Yeah, Bo Siegel was the original owner of Oakdale. Yep.
Yeah, and I was working for Richie Benedetto at the time, and I remember rush, and then this tour bus
You know what's
up.
Funny is that when I have like 3 minutes left with Jimmy, everyone calls up with War and Peace.
Remember back in the day when we did this?
No, but where were you at 8:30?
Right.
When I could
see
you.
I'm sorry.
I just heard you guys talking about trying to finish up.
I said if you have a question.
not a memory.
A movie.
I remember back in the day.
So
when
you're
we did
you guys are great, though. Anyways.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jimmy,
that.
You're doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
Again, those are more statements, right. But okay, not questions. But
no real question in there, but we appreciate
yes,
you.
Yes, very nice fellow.
Alex in Newtown, you going to do better?
Yes.
Thank
Jimmy, I saw that John Mayer announced his concert tour yesterday, and I didn't see him in Bridgeport. So he's coming in 2022, but not to Bridgeport. Wondering why.
Because it's a pretty short tour, only doing a few dates in the Northeast, and hopefully on leg two we'll have him either indoors or maybe at Xfinity, one of the two. But I don't think he'll play Bridgeport. I think it's too small for him right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, a lot of guys. Too small for
no,
me.
But it seems like he's a hometown boy, so you never know. He might just show up right. If a friend is playing,
exactly.
Right?
He's played Bridgeport already. We did bring him into Bridgeport, and Katy Perry was there that night.
That's right.
Was she a firework or what?
I remember her walking by and going, well, that's a pretty girl, and not having any idea it was really Katy Perry. So, but that day he spent driving Katy all around Bridgeport and Trumbull and Fairfield, where he grew up, showing her all the sights. I said, oh, my God, they're probably going to get married. I was wrong.
Sean, Long Island.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Quick thought on the name for Jimmy's VIP Lounge. Jimmy, I know you're a big Dead fan and kind of a play on words. What about Row Jimmy?
I think it's too not well known enough. Nobody would know what it means but you and I.
How about the Grateful Jimmy?
No, I think the boys from the Dead would let you do that. You guys say
yeah,
you
I did. I had my dog Jack, who was named after Jack Straw, so nice. It does make a little sense.
Nice.
I'll admit that.
Cool.
Or you could go Jimmy's Row. Either way.
Huh.
All right, guys. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sean. I appreciate it. Nice and short. We love it. Right around this time. Is the show Wednesday at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater sold out?
Not yet.
Wow.
But it's the highest grossing show we've got there. It's the most tickets sold except for the first Greta Van Fleet show. And it will get very close to selling out if it doesn't sell out.
Nice.
Yeah. I think, people like to wait last minute. Now, just so you know, it feels outside, but you're not going to get rained on.
No. Mm-hmm. It's got a big dome and everything.
Yeah.
Yep. So you're all good.
Be part of history, the very first concert at the world-class Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport Wednesday. REO Speedwagon and Styx. You have any, a quick Tommy Shaw or Styx story?
I have an REO story.
Oh, perfect.
I've never told this story, and hopefully they'll show up after I tell this story, but we had them at the New Haven Coliseum in the early 80s. And we thought they were coming for a sound check, so we put some guacamole out in their dressing room. And by the time they got to the show, they never came for the sound check. By the time they got to the show, the guacamole had turned sort of brown.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I had the manager come in and yell at me. And the next time they played Connecticut, they wouldn't play for me because I served them brown guacamole.
Well, but get there sooner.
Over guacamole?
Right.
Jimmy, please put in brown guacamole.
Yeah, the guacamole.
They thought I was a bad promoter for leaving the guacamole out.
Oh,
now,
I'm
these were
gone.
During the drug-infused days of lives where we reacted improperly to little instances, which they have profusely apologized to me about since.
Seriously.
Does he know who we are?
That would have been the most healthiest thing they put in their bodies back then.
Yeah, I think that you need brown guacamole back there Wednesday night.
Oh, man, please. I'll bring it.
That would be funny, actually.
I'll bring it.
I will remind him of that.
All right, Jimmy. Thank you, brother.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.